Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. How does Jesus teach us to pray? In today's study, we will learn about the disciples' prayer, part 1, from Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. So let's begin as we continue Dr. Neufeld's series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, focusing on the Sermon on the Mount.
Today we've come to one of the most well-known passages in the Bible. It's traditionally been called the Lord's Prayer. This prayer is probably the most repeated prayer in history. It's been set to countless different musical scores, and it's been sung as a part of worship services for centuries. For all of us who struggle to know how to pray, this passage is intended as a teaching manual. If you want to learn how to pray, a close study of this passage gives any novice an insight into how to pray. Let's read the entire passage, Matthew 6, 7-15. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, you've probably guessed, today we're going to be talking about prayer and praying. What should we pray for, and how should we address God? What are the proper attitudes we should bring into our prayer time? There's a lot to talk about today, so much so that I've decided to take this matter of the Lord's Prayer and spread it out over two broadcasts. See, the story is told of a little boy who was saying his prayers at bedtime. He prayed this way: Lord, please bless Mommy and Daddy. And then he paused and said with the loudest voice he could muster, and give me a new bicycle. And his mom said, Son, God's not hard of hearing. And the boy said, I know, but Grandma's in the next room, and she is. See, how many of you know that prayer's an interesting thing? It's not always what it appears to be. We saw yesterday that prayer sometimes has absolutely nothing to do with God and can be about our own self-promotion. Prayer can be about many things, and fascinatingly enough, not everyone who prays is close to God. See, I've noticed that Jesus spent more time warning us about wrong motives when we pray than he actually spent time encouraging us to pray. Here's what Jesus knew: that prayer, like every other human activity, is filled with traps and temptations and pride, misunderstanding, false motives, greed, and even wanting God to bless our evil deeds. Prayer is something used to blunt our conscience so we can feel wonderful about doing things that are profoundly evil. I mean, think of all the suicide bombers who have prayed before their mission. Think about the religious teachers who had Jesus crucified, evil men known for their prayers. I've talked to many a couple who are having sex out of wedlock and who have said to me, we've prayed about this, and we deeply sense that God is blessing us. Prayer can simply lead to self-deception. Indeed, prayer can be the most godless thing that any human being can do. Are you shocked to hear me say that? Well, Jesus would agree. Think of how he mocked the prayers of the self-righteous publican who in his prayer recounted the ways that he was better than others. Think of how he exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees who made their phylacteries broad and their prayer fringes long. He heaped scorn on such things. Of course, stating things that way can be misleading. In the culture in which Jesus lived, everyone prayed. That's why Jesus spent more time warning about the traps in prayer than encouraging people to pray. Most people prayed in Jesus' culture. See, in our culture, prayer is notably absent. In more than one study, it's been found that many ministers don't even find time for a few minutes of prayer every day. They just don't know how and have never seen it modeled. Many Christians, when they're honest enough to confess it, say that their prayers are almost non-existent. But that's just the point. Just because people prayed in Jesus' day and people don't pray in our day doesn't make the people in Jesus' day any closer to God than those who are alienated from God in our day. Now, Jesus did encourage people to pray. Luke 18 verse 1 says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." They ought always to pray. Jesus insisted on that. And a quick study of Jesus' teaching on prayer can be quite revealing. Notice simply from the book of Luke how often he insists on prayer. In Luke 6:28, Jesus encouraged his followers to pray for those who persecute them. Then in chapter 10, verse 28, he tells them to pray earnestly that the Lord would send out laborers into the harvest. And in chapter 11, he insists on persistence in prayer. The parable of the unrighteous judge in Luke 18 is told to encourage persistent prayer. And of course, in Gethsemane, he wants to know why they would not stay praying for him for even 1 hour. And then he insists that they pray earnestly that they might not enter into temptation. So don't get me wrong. When I said that Jesus has many warnings about wrong motives in prayer, Jesus also knew that a life devoid of prayer is a life on empty. It's a life without a power source. It's like pushing your car down a road, never realizing what a motor can do for you. Some of you are living that way. Everything you ever do is because of your exertion and not because of the one by whom all things are possible. See, prayer, if done rightly, will fuel your walk with God. If you don't pray, you don't know God. Furthermore, James 4 verse 2 says that we do not have many things that God would even want to give us, for one reason. It's because we don't ask. We don't bend the knee and come before God, making our request to Him. God knows that there are some things He will withhold from us. For if He were to give them to us without our asking for them, we would assume that the reason for this blessing is because of us and not because of God's gracious hand. Prayer is intended to make us dependent on God, and by these means to drive us into intimacy with Him and make us deeply thankful for His provision. There is a motivation to pray. Some of you right now have something lacking in your life that your Heavenly Father would love to give you, but you will never get it until you learn to ask Him both in faith and with a humble and yielded heart. Check it out, James 4, verse 2. But then the very next verse warns us that when we ask with wrong motivation. And so our prayers, even while prayers are necessary, can simply be an extension of our evil, self-serving desires. That's why we need not only to be encouraged to pray, but we need also to be instructed how to pray. And that's where this amazing Lord's Prayer comes in. It is, if you will, the foundation of all successful praying. Learn this prayer well, and you will have both the motivation to pray and the guidance needed to prevent you from falling into all of those traps where prayer can become only an exercise in our own ego development. Now let's start with verse 7. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words." Isn't it an amazing irony that before Jesus teaches us how to pray, in the passage we call the Lord's Prayer, He prefaces it with a warning against meaningless repetition in praying. Let me ask you the obvious. Is there any prayer in history that has been so often meaninglessly repeated than this prayer? In some religious circles, people have been encouraged in one sitting to simply say the Lord's Prayer 2, 3, 4 times in a row and even more. I can't help but think that the words become a kind of a mantra, almost viewed as a spiritual kind of magic. Repeat the words often enough and you're going to be all right. Jesus never said that these words were to be repeated thousands of times. How do I know? Well, He said so. Indeed, the actual prayer itself, even if we say the words quite slowly and very deliberately, only take about 30 seconds at most to repeat them. Furthermore, this thing about praying. The Pharisees, as we learned last week, prayed so that they could be observed by others. Others pray lengthy prayers, thinking these prayers are the most effective kind of praying. Think about this in biblical history. Elijah spends the day with the priests of Baal who are shouting toward heaven, doing physical gyrations. 1 Kings 18 records them praying from early morning until noon. Then when Elijah mocked them, the text says, they raved on, screaming and shouting until the end of the day. And in response, Elijah prayed about 20 seconds and the fire of God fell. Don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to lengthy prayers, but neither should we be impressed by them. Length is not the issue. Fervency is not the issue. How loud you pray is not the issue. Some people in prayer scream at the devil in order to get God to do their bidding. They think this kind of praying is especially effective. Learn the Lord's Prayer well, and you'll be cured of this kind of folly.
Prayer is such an important part of our walk with God. It's no wonder that Jesus spends the time teaching us how to do it right. Many of us struggle in our prayer life. For example, we neglect to find the time to pray. Whatever the issue may be, Jesus wants to direct our minds and hearts into the right motivation for prayer. Join us again as Dr. Neufeld helps us understand more about what disciples' prayer teaches us. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld, news about the ministry, our Bible teaching correspondent courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine Confident Living, and a way to support the ministry of Back to the Bible. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. John Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? That is backtothebible.in. Or for more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.